Turn to Psalms 40. Praise God. I want to share a word with you on today. Yeah. Psalms 40. Today is February the 23rd. Praise God. We thank God for February the 23rd as we read. And as I mentioned before, just talking about the difficult times that we're experiencing today and the days to come, that we'll be prepared for them. And just to set this up, to talk with you briefly this morning, praise God, is that realizing and understanding through the experiences that we've all experienced in our lives. I started looking at this what I wanted to talk about on Monday. I was sitting at my desk at work, and it was just in my spirit. We was talking, had a discussion on the prayer line, and we were just talking. And after we got through praying and we got off the prayer line, I started thinking about the miry clay. I thought about that, so I began to research that, in which I already knew what the miry clay was, what consisted of. You know what I mean? And so you can equate the miry clay to a muddy situation. You can equate that to quicksand. You can equate that to like a spongy, like a soil that doesn't have a good traction to it. And even in this particular miry clay, which they use in the Bible in certain places, and I share that with you this morning, is that you will begin to sink.
Yes, sir.
And when I thought about my life, and I thought about the advice that was given to me, and I didn't take the advice. When I look back over my life, I found out that I was stuck in some miry clay. Mm-hmm. I was stuck in a situation that I stayed in for a long time. And even in this instance, in the text that we're going to read in Psalms 40, is that actually it was a pit that was filled with clay.
Oh my God.
Boy, that's a double up. That's a, man, that's going through. Somebody say he was going through some things. Because actually when you look at the text and you actually do research on David that was in this situation, he was actually in a pit or a cistern which was filled with clay. It was filled with mud. And can you imagine can you imagine yourself being in a pit underground? Because what they did was they used cisterns. Can I educate y'all a little bit on it? What they did was use cisterns. A cistern is used to contain water. And what happened is after these cisterns dried up, or these reservoirs dried up, they made them into places where they kept people in prison. They punished people and they put them in cisterns. And not only did they put David was in the cistern, but that they put mud inside there so it wouldn't be a great experience. I don't know about you, but in my life, all my experiences haven't been so great.
Amen.
It's been some painful experiences that I've been through. It's been some financial experiences I done been through. It's been some relationship situations that I've been through. And I find myself, as I reflect and I look back, that these things went on year after year. Maybe none of y'all have ever been through that. But you seem like you're stuck in the mud.
Yeah.
You know, they real smooth with it. Now I got mine after mud and this, that, and the other. Well, that's where he got us from. He pulled up glory. He pulled us out of the mud. Can I set it up real good? That's where we came from. We came up out the mud. And as a matter of fact, if you think about this, that Jesus Christ, even himself, went inside a pit. Yeah. But thank God that he didn't stay there. Yeah. He didn't make it a permanent grave. Yeah. But he came up out. He resurrected. Yeah. And he came up out the mud. Because actually what they do is that they bury you in the mud. And I don't want to let my experiences become my grave.
That's all right.
But what I want to talk to you about this morning is, we can go home right now. I done already preached. That he took us from clay to rock.
Oh,
I want you to think about that. He took us from clay to rock. See, that clay, I ain't got no traction in the clay. But boy, if you put me on a solid foundation, boy, I'm going to take off, I'm going to run. I'm no longer, I ain't even got it on my shoes no more. I'm sitting on a solid foundation now. I could take some steps now. Because when I was in the clay, when I was in the mire, when I was in the mud, I couldn't hardly, it was heavy. I couldn't move. And every time I seemed like I was going, getting out, I couldn't get out because I was stuck in the mud. Are you with me now? Okay. In verse 1 in Psalms 140. And I want you to notice what David was saying. Psalms 40, starting at verse 1. Psalm 40, which is the text we're going to use to talk about this. From clay to rock. Are you with me? So here it is. David was going through what he was going through, right? And so we understand that King David discovered a key to experiencing joy. Amid the most challenging times of his life by remembering God's past deliverance from trouble. We don't know the exact details of David's ordeal in Psalms chapter 40, but he compares it to being stuck in a horrifying pit filled with mud and mire. And what he said in verse 1 was, I waited patiently on the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. I want to stop right there. If I could just park the car right there for a minute, because here it was, he had to be in this situation for a minute, because he said that I waited patiently. That means time had went by, because some of us, I ain't talking about none of y'all, but some of us don't have no patience at all. Let me throw myself in there too. And we want it right now. We want it now. You take it too long. People that hit you with a phone call, then come back with a text, or hit you with a text and then call you 1 minute later. When people do that, it tells me one thing. I say, boy, they ain't got no patience. You just text me, and a minute haven't even went by, and then you call. Not none of y'all. But David said, I waited patiently on the Lord. He would wait. So in other words, he had said something to God, but God hadn't said nothing to him yet. And you got to quit trying to rush God. It's all in God's time. One day is like 1,000 years. Wait, somebody say, wait on God. David said that in his pit experience filled with mud, that he said, I waited patiently on the Lord. And he inclined his ear and he heard my cry. In other words, through what he was going through, he started crying out to God. God, you see what situation I'm in. You see what I'm going through. You see these people trying to kill me. You see Saul after me. You see my son Absalom setting up camp and trying to come against me. He said, but man, I tell you what. He said, I waited patiently on the Lord. And he inclined, in other words, while he was crying, even though God hadn't did nothing yet, that God was listening to what he was talking about. Y'all look at the text. But he said, I waited patiently. And you might not got the answer to it yet, or God might haven't opened the door to it yet, but he's has his spirit inclined. He's listening. Can you see God listening to what you're saying? As you cry out to him. But some of us, we get in the situation, we get in the mud, and we start thinking about, man, look at all this mud. How's I'm gonna get? And we start complaining and getting mad at folks. getting bitter, but we're not crying out. We forget about the resources. We forget about this awesome God, this God that threw a curtain up, the firmament. He threw a curtain up in the sky.
Yes, sir.
That's what the firmament is. The stars and the moon, the wind, the seas. All that stuff connected to the Atlantic, the Pacific, all that. If he take that firmament out, it's going to flood the earth. And that's what he did when it rained 40 days and 40 nights. He took the curtain back, the firmament. And that's why it just poured down rain. That's why he had to put the firmament in. This God. This God that a person gets shot point blank range in the head and they still living and don't have nothing. That God right there. That God right there is the one that's
listening.
That God that took my Amy, she's 90 years old now. She's still living. And still in her right mind. And still praising God. That she said that she had cirrhosis of the liver. And she said that she went to church and they called her and they prayed for the saints. They laid hands on her and they prayed for her. And next thing you know, she said she was at home and she was suffering. You know, that's one of the worst things you could suffer from is cirrhosis of the liver. Even a man, it looked like he's pregnant.
Yeah.
Your eyes turn yellow. It's a horrible way to die.
Yeah.
It's a slow death.
Yeah.
And she had cirrhosis of the liver. And my auntie said they called her and said, well, could you come down to the doctor? Because she said she started feeling better. And they did an examination. They was dumbfounded. But it had to be when they was laying hands on her and when they was crying out on behalf of my auntie. When God was listening to what they was praying about, the saints were. She was listening to the saints. He was listening to the saints. And they said when she got down there, they said that, hey, I don't know what happened. But my auntie said she started shouting in the room. She said, I know what happened. Because what they told her, she said she couldn't do nothing but break. And boy, I felt that and I cried. And it was years ago when this happened. Say that her baby, her liver looked like a brand new little baby.
My God.
who can do that? When you got cirrhosis of the liver, and they called her and said, yo, I don't know how your liver did that, but your liver looked like a little baby liver, like a newborn baby liver. Ain't nothing wrong with your liver. David said, I waited patiently on the Lord. And look, it says, he brought me up also after he heard me crying about it, not crying about the situation, but praying to God, God, take me out of this pit.
Yes.
Relieve me of this experience that I'm going through, God. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. That's how I knew. Read the text. That not only was he in the horrible pit, but the mud was included in the pit. That's what it's telling us in verse 2. You got to look at it. He says, he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Because as long as I'm in the pit and I'm stuck in the mud, I can't go glory. I can't go nowhere. But the Bible just told us that he pulled him up out of the pit with the mud in it, and established his going so he can go somewhere. Do y'all see it in the text? He says, and he have put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. How that he was on drugs all these years? How, God? She was on the streets all these years. How, God? They was ahead of disease that couldn't be cured. How, God, had that cured? How? Many will see and say, my God. Who could do this? Nobody but God. But if you've ever been stuck in quicksand or stood in a soft ocean shore
as your feet sank deeper and deeper into the sand. With each wave, you know the feeling of being caught in a staggering helplessness of miry clay. Mire is deep, soft mud in water or slush like a wet loom or potter's clay. The Hebrew term in Psalms 40 and 2 is translated miry bog, mud, mire, muddy clay. These are the Greek terms, are the Hebrew terms for this that was going on. So David's metaphor reminds us of Jeremiah's actual imprisonment in a muddy cistern. Let's look at it. Let's look at Jeremiah. I'm almost done. Are you with me now, though? Man, I meditated on this thing all week long. I said, my goodness, God.
Good word, Pastor.
Man, you are amazing. Jeremiah, chapter 38. I'm sorry. See, because David, he wanted to convey the idea of being desperately trapped in a dark circumstance.
That's good.
In a dark situation. And so the metaphor that he used in Psalms 42 gave us a reference to Jeremiah 38, verses 7 through 13. Let's look at it. Because I want you to see it. Jeremiah chapter 38. Oh, this is good. Verse 7 through 13. Let's look at it. This metaphor which led us to this passage in Jeremiah that he was given concerning the miry clay. Because when you look at it, he brought him out of it and he set him on a rock and established his goings. First, what he did was he heard his cry.
Yes, sir.
David, what he did was, first of all, what he did, even in his experience, while he was waiting, he was crying. Not boo-hoo crying, but crying out in prayer.
Yeah.
That's what the cry means.
Yeah.
He said he heard, he inclined his ear because I was praying to him. And he said that while I was in this dark circumstance or situation or dilemma, that you don't sit around and complain and cry about it.
Yes,
but this is the opportunity, though you're going through it, you pray about it, that God will bring you out of it. And God is waiting to see where you communicate with you. Because why would I cut off all communication when I get through?
Sir.
I'm in a dark place. I just stay in the room. This dark room ain't saying nothing to nobody. I'm going through. I'm carrying. You're not meant to carry these things
around.
Right. You're not the burden carrier.
Right.
God is.
Right. Yeah.
And so while you're crying out, while you're in there for a reason.
Yeah.
Let me say that again.
Yes,
you're in there for a reason.
Yes.
Here it is in Jeremiah chapter 38, verses 7 through 13. Now when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon. He heard about it. He said, man, they got him in the dungeon.
Yeah.
He said, the king then, sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech, said, for out of the king's house, and spake to the king, saying, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the commanded Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So we're going through, we're going through 13. He said, then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So Ebed took the men with him and went in the house of the king unto the treasury, and took thence out old cast clouts and old rotten rags and let them down by the cords in the dungeon to Jeremiah. So what he did was he made a rope.
Say, so word got back to the king. Are we our brother's keeper? Been our brother in that dungeon.
And you think you all alone, but there's somebody that's
for you, that's on your behalf. Your brother, and that's why we say neighbor. Love thy neighbor as you love thyself. But when you don't care about nobody, you don't care nothing about him being in no dungeon about to die because he ain't ate nothing. Then the food is scarce in the city like now.
Yeah.
Like what's going on now.
They got these terror. They're trying to make the government small. And now people that don't have that much money, they barely living paycheck to paycheck. And then now here it is, instead of people banding together in the household, that you got some people not carrying their weight, but they old enough to go get a job. But we sitting there steady feeding them, but they ain't putting in on the money.
Yeah.
They ain't putting in on the grocery. That's why I say you're going to have to tighten up. Can I talk real?
Yes.
It don't make no sense for people living in the house and you of age and you can get a job. Even teenagers can get a job.
Amen.
Right? Now, if you got the means, it ain't hurting your pocket. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to the ones who's barely making it.
Yeah.
And you got somebody that can contribute to the household and they're not, but they always in the refrigerator while you sleeping there snoring, they in the refrigerator. Those ones, you going to have some hard times because now the prices of things, even the egg, egg is one of the cheapest things you can buy. We going to go get 2 18-packs. Now, there are people going in there, they ain't getting no 18-pack no more. They just getting a dozen. And then we cook breakfast. You ain't getting it. So I want me 3 or 4 eggs. So if I'm eating 3 or 4 eggs, for a lady eating 3 eggs, not 2 eggs, and then Harrison with his little grease up, he eats 1 egg, but he want another one. That 4 eggs plus 2 eggs, that's 6 plus 2. Then the dozen is gone. But Ebed, he heard about Jeremiah. He said, say, man, Jeremiah, they got Jeremiah in a pit. And the reason why he was in the pit, because he was saying, thus saith the Lord.
Yeah.
You have to remember, this man, Jeremiah, man, he was sold out. Because Jeremiah, he was in ministry for 50 years and didn't have one member.
Yeah, he still spoke that word.
Because he wasn't popular. Because see, people looking for churches that's going to sugarcoat. They're not going to talk about everything in the Bible. They're just going to talk about some of it. And when you start talking about them, it seems like you're talking about them. They don't want to be around them. Every time I come to church, you're always talking to me. No, I'm just coming out the Bible.
Amen. The word. God
talking
to you.
They get offended. The word offends them.
Yeah.
And then they start getting mad at the pastor. You don't know what the pastor be going through. Right? Because people be after you because of what you preached on Sunday. Yeah. Right?
Right.
You hear what the pastor was preaching?
That bottle fly, let it fly.
Got the pastor scared, but not me. I'm not no scary pastor, so let's get that straight. And that's why sometimes they ain't going to invite me to come over there because they don't know what I'm saying. They scared. They don't know what's in one of these folders. I go over to VIP and every time, he got that yellow folder. Because every time I go over there, I deliberately take a yellow folder. And Pastor Chris Moore said, boy, that boy got that yellow folder. I know it's going to be on. But today I got a blue folder to mess with my blue suit. They went in the rag basket and made a rope. They pulled up on Jeremiah in the cistern, right? Put it in that little bitty hole, squeezed, put him in that little hole, and let the rope down. I bet Jeremiah was weak. And even Jeremiah, when he was telling people what thus says the Lord, because he wasn't telling them about they're going to get a new castle and they're going to get a new carriage and all that. That's a big old cloud there and horses. He was telling them that God said, get it right and get it right now. And he wasn't popular, so they put him in a system. They put him in a dungeon. And even when he thought about giving up, I wouldn't imagine. I'm pretty sure I would have quit.
I'm pretty sure. But Jeremiah, if y'all read about Jeremiah, the Bible says that he said it was like a fire shut up in his bone.
He couldn't quit. He couldn't quit.
He didn't encourage nobody to come to church, but he was going to tell somebody what does the Lord. And that's what I like about the church. We come to the science spectrum, but the church is actually mobile. Talking about two churches. So when you go to your job, you church going to your, you pulling up, the church pulling up. When you go in the grocery store, the church is pulling up. When you go to the park, the church is there. When you go to go buy something, whatever, the church is there. Because you are the church. The church is mobile, baby. It's already written on your heart. You ain't carrying around the Ark of the Covenant no more. You are the Ark of the Covenant. They found out, the church found out that another church was in a dungeon, and so all the churches pulled up and they made a rope, glory. And they said that what they did was they took these old cast clouts and old rotten rags, let them down by the cords in the dungeon by Jeremiah. And Ebed the Ethiopian said unto Jeremiah, put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armholes under the cords. So in other words, they told him, say, man, make you a harness.
Come on, God.
Put it up under your arm. They call it armholes. We call it armpits. Jeremiah, in his weak condition, he heard a word. He did exactly what the word told him to. He put them up under there, and then what they do? They says, and Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah. I'm on 13. So they drew up Jeremiah with the cords and took him out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. But he wasn't in no dungeon, don't he? He had to wait around for his release papers. You know when you go to, not none of y'all, you know when you get ready to leave, you better hope they tell you go over here with everybody else. But if they tell you go on that side, you got to detain them, or you better go back on, you ain't going home. Hey, man, go on over there. It's out of business. You relieved, but not yet. Go over here and sit in here and with your little Bible. And then as soon as they leave, they leave all them Bibles. But then while they was in prison, they were they were speaking in tongues and everything.
They left the Bible.
So he was in that. He was right there. They were getting ready to release him all the way. He had to wait in the prison court, but he wasn't in no dungeon.
Yeah. Amen.
And while they wait, man, I'm getting ready to go. That's what they be. That's how they be talking over there. Some people ain't saying a word, man. They just wait. Somebody like me, I'm just chilling. No, I was talking. Well, I can't wait, boy. Man, I'm gonna give me a big old grease and hamburger and some french fries. Man, I'm even give me a milk that be on the bus that about the bus.
Praise the Lord. Let it free. Speak that truth. Can't go wrong.
What about Joseph's entrapment by his brothers when he was in the pit?
My God.
Right? So the only thing he could do is wait patiently on the Lord to rescue. David may have been speaking on the same excruciating episode in Psalm 69 and 10. Deeper and deeper I sink into mine. I can't find a foothold. I am in deep water and floods overwhelm me. Let's look at it. Let's look at Psalms. Let me give you these scriptures with it. Go to Psalm. Because David wrote, that David was a good writer, wasn't he? But that David was something else. If you look at the skill set that David had, David was a warrior.
Yeah, he was.
Huh? He was a king. Mm. And don't get it twisted, David knew how to play the instruments.
He did. Yeah.
He was a musician.
Yeah,
exactly. That boy David had going on.
Yeah.
Right? But one thing I like about David, through all the experiences that he had, and then even by him being king when he killed Goliath, then people start hating on him. Because sometimes when you come up out the pit and you start coming up, People gonna start hating on him on the sideline. And even the one that really cut it for him was trying to let him use his own armor, which was Saul. That when David came back and they was having a big old parade for David, he started hating on David.
Yeah, they did.
Man, what's up with this? Oh, they kicking it with David now? They don't forget that I'm King Saul.
Start hating on him that day forward. Look what it say in 69:2. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me.
That's why he was in a cistern. He was in a dungeon and it was filled with mud. And he was saying that I'm so deep in it that I'm sinking, that it's about to overflow me. That's what David was saying in the scripture.
As a reference to what he was talking about in Psalms 40, he was just reflecting on the experience that he went through. Isn't it awesome that you could give a testimony that people might be stuck in the same situation and you could share your testimony and they'll ask you a question, how did you come out? And then you could say, I waited patiently on the Lord. I just believed he was going to bring me out. Yeah. And what I did was I wasn't complaining about the situation or just giving up and just drowning in the cistern or sinking in the mud, but I cried out to God.
Yes, like he hurt.
So David's pit of miry clay could be symbolic of any number of distressing times he endured. Perhaps it was his depression or the rejection he experienced due to King Saul's murderous jealousy and hatred. Maybe it was the time his son Absalom led a conspiracy and rebellion against him. It might have been the pit David dug for himself through his simple affair with Bathsheba, then the slaying of her husband.
So it could have been a number of things, the reason why he was in this pit situation. And I know the one that he dug for himself because of his own actions.
Yeah.
See, you could dig a pit for yourself. You can dig a pit for yourself. And it can be full with mud because you keep on adding on to it. And next thing you know, years will go by and you'll be stuck in it. Year will go by and you're still in the same place you were last year. As a matter of fact, still in the same place you were before the pandemic even came. And then the pandemic came through, you still in. And now it is 2:25, you still in. But my question to you is, when are you going to cry out?
Yes, that's good.
Instead of staying stuck in the mud. And if you knew you dug a pit for yourself, you ought to repent and confess and then cry.
Yeah.
Y'all remember when they was bringing the offering up to the front? That's why I offering, that's on you. I'm going to give.
Yeah, you better speak that
truth. I'm going to give. You don't know how many doors been opened because of my giving, because of my obedience to giving, right?
Yes.
I'm going to give.
Yes.
I don't have nothing to do with other people. I don't harass people. Amen. Oh, the money was low. If we get $15, that's it. You'll never get a call from me telling me the offering was low. We didn't have no money. Ain't nobody giving. I'm not going to cry about it. Because God is in control of all things. I don't know what you got going on, but I do know you better pay your bills. Don't be bringing it up here and saying that I'm the one who harassed you and told you you ought to pay this and pay this and give that. You better pay your bills. Because ministry start at home.
Yes, sir.
It don't make no sense for you to skim up for your life bill, to skim up for your mortgage, to skim up for your, because you feel guilty about not giving to the church. You better pay, you better keep it. Because what you're going to do when you skim up of it, you're going to come right back and give it, get it from the church.
Yeah.
And guess what? I'm going to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
I got to. If you come to me and say, man, I have trouble with my life bill. But that's your responsibility to be a good steward, to say, okay, instead of me paying my light bill, I was on Amazon. I ordered something on Amazon. Now I'm sharp with my light. That don't make no sense. That's not no good steward. Man, forget Amazon.
Right now.
Right now? That bill got to be paid. Y'all better pay all. There's too many of them. Lord help us.
Let's pay the bill, whatever.
But do y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So these pits can be, you could be led into a pit, or you could be, look, what did Joseph do? You see how somebody hated on Joseph? You might have somebody hating on your job that might get you to get out of character. Then you get fired and you got led into a pit. Yes. Instead of recognizing that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood,
yes,
that we pull down those thoughts.
Uh-huh.
You done cussed out the whole place, now you done got fired.
That's real.
You cussed out, hey. Joseph, he was a dream. He could see things.
Come out your mouth.
Right? And his brother, then he got that new coat.
Oh, my God. They were showing up, Joseph.
Y'all ain't married y'all father, have you?
Yeah.
He came up like closet in there. Yeah, he had all them coats with all them different colors. All them. I don't need no coat. Like, give me a solid coat. That man had green and lime and yellow and pink. All of, and he fell up in that barn here and his brother look at him. He think he's something. And they had a pit waiting on him.
Oh,
see,
yeah.
People that are jealous, they can have a pit for you.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to, I know I'm talking to you. You got to be aware. So your pit experience can be not just self-inflicted, but it can be because you've been led into that pit. But we must be aware and not be ignorant to the enemy's devices.
Yes,
I don't care what they said. I'm not getting out of character on the job.
I know that's right.
Even though I have before. I told a parent, man, I'll slide you way over in the field. And then I'll meet you over in the field and beat the brakes out for you.
He did.
Yeah,
he did.
Before I know it. And people are saying, did you hear the pastor?
Uh-huh.
Not Mr. Moore, now the pastor. But the man was talking crazy to me. And I turned around, I'm like, who are you talking to me? Like, yeah, I'm talking to you. And then he said, what you want to do? I'm like, oh, man, I lost it. Let a couple things slide, but when I'm in my right mind, please don't play with me. Whatever the pit may have been, David has learned in times of trouble to cry out to the Lord. He said, rescue me from this miry mud. Don't let me sink, Lord. Let me be rescued from those who hate me and from deeper water. Let's look at 69. We still in 69? Go to verse 14. Look what he's saying. Deliver me out of the mire. He crying out. He ain't called Sister Butterbean. Girl, I'm so tired of being in this mud. When I go to work, they be hating on me at work. Because I got a promotion and stuff. Now I got a brand new desk. They hating on me and stuff. Messing with my food in the refrigerator. So I'm going to get me a refrigerator and put it in my office so nobody can go. I'm not going to put it in the main. Just don't be ignorant to the enemy's devices. Be aware. They juking at you. They shooting at you now.
Yeah.
Oh, they ain't say nothing. Oh, they over there. Every time I come in the break room, they be whispering. And then when I come in there, they stop talking. Do you see how I went and got my change, how they gave me my change back? Didn't get in the car. They racist. Not none of y'all.
You free.
My God.
Are you saying, deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. In other words, he knew that there was some haters. He said, God, help me with this. Help me. Because I don't want to sink in that deep water. Because if I entertain this,
yes,
then I'm going to be in a pit.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to let them put me in no pit.
I've already been there for what I did with Bathsheba when I seen a baby. He should have, when he seen Bathsheba, he should have turned around. But he seen her. She was beautiful. And she was naked.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, that baby was like,
bring her to me.
Right now.
Well, that David's something else.
It was at that moment that he started digging a pit for himself.
He all over the name. Look.
What is it? I ain't read that Bible. Well, that David's something else. Anointed David. The man of God, that King David. Huh? He dug a pit for himself.
Yeah.
The one after God's own heart, David. But what I like about it is you read the story that God never gave up on David. That all through all his transgressions, he still used David. And David still abided in his word after he cried out in sackcloth and ashes after his son had died as a result from the pregnancy with Bathsheba. He got up and got back on track. So what he did was when he was crying out then. He got up after he went through that process and said, man, he started writing too. He was playing the thing, playing that. Boy, that day was something, man. Playing the tambourine. That's why you looking up. He started talking about all these instruments.
Yeah.
David knew how to pray. They say that David, when he came in the city, it was already in. They say David danced out his clothes.
Yeah,
he said, "Bob, if you don't even carry me, I ain't carry myself."
Amen. Hallelujah.
In your pit experience, you ought to encourage yourself. You ought to be crying out to God and say, God, I know I'm in this pit right now, God. But I just know you're going to bring me out this mud, and you're going to put me on a solid rock, and you're going to establish my going. I want to go somewhere, God. I don't want to stay stuck right here. I don't want to stay stuck in this mindset, God. I don't want to stay stuck in this situation.
Yes, sir.
I want to come out so I can go somewhere, God,
yes,
now. I've been stuck in the mud too long, God.
Too long.
Help me, Lord. Say, we're crying out. And then even when the haters came, I was doing some work, and a guy, I knew he had some hater rage. I knew he had just not drunk his ass up. He must have just had drunk a glass up. But I had already knew that he low-key hated. And he was around some people. He's like, watch, Carl, that's all you do? You make money doing it? The way he was saying it, tearing up his face and stuff, contorting his face. And I'm like, I start praying right there because I already know how I am.
Oh, yes.
In
the name of Jesus.
I said, yeah, man, that's one of the things that I do, my brother. I say, but you know, people have a misconception concerning me. I say, first of all, it takes time. I waited patiently.
Mm-hmm.
I've been waiting patiently. I say, but man, when you establish your clientele, it could be very lucrative, right? I didn't even go into detail sharing what I make. It wasn't even none of his business. I want him to think what he was thinking, but my response was important to me because I didn't want to get out of character because I knew he was a hater.
Yeah,
I knew this already. So I wasn't ignorant to what the enemy was trying to do to me. He's trying to get me to get out of character. My occupation and what I do. Well, I've done a very good off of this. So I just went on by my business. I wasn't tripping. And let a hater be a hater. We need that. We need them, though.
Yeah, we
need them. It was like, because everybody don't like, let's get this established. Everybody don't like you.
Right.
You're not liked by everybody. So you think when you find out somebody don't like, don't get all in the dumb and find out they didn't like you, they were just pretending. Because everybody that clap for you, don't they really not for you.
That's right. Don't take it personal.
Let's just be real with you.
Yeah.
Right? So we have to be prepared for all of those things to not dig ourselves a pit. And so when you think about that, he cried out to him. He said, man, I'm just going to trust in you, God. I believe what you're doing, and I know that you're going to hear my cry. So what he did was he brought him out of the miry clay. It's also, this is what I want to get you as we get ready to conclude. that he brought me out of the miry clay is also a picture of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and the resulting salvation believers experience. I'm reading a commentary. Through him. When Jesus Christ died, he was buried in the grave. He was buried in the mud. Crucifixion was a truly horrible pit, as the spotless Lamb of God took all the transgressions of humankind on his sinless body. But thanks be to God, our Savior did not stay in the pit. God raised him up from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep hold of him. He was brought out of the miry clay. Christ is alive now and lives forever. The Apostle Peter explained, he suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely to home to God. He suffered death, physical death, but he was raised to life in the spirit. So Jesus Christ was raised to life, never to die again. His work of redemption is complete. We were destined to die, but through his marvelous salvation, he brought us out of the miry clay. He set our feet upon a rock, and like David, he put a new song of praise to God in our mouth. Yes, from clay to the rock. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
That even Jesus had to go in the mud and come up out of it. How many times have God taken you out of the miry clay? Just think about it. Just think about how he's brought you out of the mud and made things better for you to establish your goings. Be aware, people of God, because people are always trying to put stumbling blocks in your way, trying to set traps, all these type of things. But we have to be aware, and most of all, do not dig a pit for yourself. Because people will try to push your buttons and get you out of character. That was many years ago when I was told that dude that I dragged him across the street in the field and beat the brakes off of him. I thank God that he helped me. Because I was about to dig me a pit.
Praise him.
I was going to be on the news. Just imagine if I'd have went through with that. And I was ready right then. They was already, look at the pastor.
That's that moment.
I remember when he was, I don't want to be that person no more.
Amen.
So we thank God that he did it for us. And that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Amen.
Old things have passed away. We put that in the mud. Behold, all things have become new. He put us on the rock and established our going. I hope this word was a blessing to you today. May God bless you. May God keep you is my prayer. Let us all stand all over the building. We definitely will pray as we conclude today. It's 12:33.
It's going to be tested.
12:33. It's going to be tested because y'all heard it. Don't be tripping at work, y'all. Quit getting into it with folk and having sidebar. Y'all be having little cliques at work and stuff. Y'all get out them cliques. Let us pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this opportunity once again. We thank you for your word that's come forth, God, that we don't want to be self-inflicting, God, with digging a pit for ourselves, God. But, God, we want to be aware. We don't want to be ignorant to the enemy's devices. And we want to continue to press toward the mark of a higher calling in you, God. And we just thank you, God, for what the message that you have given on us out of Psalms 40, God, and the references that you gave us, God, to remind us, God, that, God, even through our experience, God, that all we have to do is wait patiently on you, God, and cry out, that you incline your ear and listen to what we're saying, God. We thank you right now, God, that we can continue to encourage one another. And, God, we pray for everyone here. You already know what they're in the need of, God, before they even ask, God. We thank you right now, Father God, for granting those prayers unto them, God, manifesting in their lives, God, whether they be sick in their bodies, God, whether they need for their children, God, whether they need financial help, whatever the case may be, God, you already know it, God. And so you supply all our needs according to your riches and glory, God. And so, God, we lean and depend on you, God, in everything, God, that we acknowledge you in all our ways, God. and that you may direct our paths. And so, God, even as we leave this place, but to never leave your presence, we just ask that you be with us, God, and keep us from hurt, harm, or danger, and don't let nothing befall upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. One more announcement before we go.